Hey, I know an Olympian.
Do you?
I know him.
Do you really?
Come on. You don't know any Olympians.
Well, I mean, I kind of know an Olympian.
Sure you do.
Okay, well, maybe not.
I know an Olympian!
Well, kind of. Sort of. You know, a lot of people can go out and interview Olympians. You know, everybody's doing that. We go deeper. We talk to people that may or may not have sort of met an Olympian. So, who do we have Friday? Do you remember? And I kind of know an Olympian.
I mean, a couple of people.
It was Dick Sambert.
Prussian. That's right. It was Dick Sambert.
Yeah. The ski jump hill where Olympians trained.
The hill on which he threw his daughters off of.
Yeah, threw the kids down the hill.
Yeah.
Mary Vanderbilt, you know, we could talk to you about this, but you actually do know an Olympian. You're related to Olympians.
I'm related to two Olympians.
Yeah, so you can't play this game. You don't kind of know an Olympian. Well, you actually know Olympians.
Yeah. I know. It's really cool. Andrea knows Christian, too.
Yeah. Oh, love Christian. Such a good guy.
Well, I've met him, too, but that doesn't mean.
We all know him, then.
Yeah, but none of us can play. Let's go to Uncle Tommy.
Oh, Uncle Tommy.
Hi, Uncle Tommy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you, Steve?
This is Tom Wilson. Tom, what do you do?
I'm actually a retired air traffic controller.
I always was fascinated by that job.
Me too.
You're looking at dots on a screen, and they all represent planes, and you got to keep the dots from running into each other. I mean, how long, for instance, when you sat down at the screen, how long would you go before you would take a break?
It varied by the day and by the shift. Normally, within an hour or so, somebody would be tapping you on the shoulder. Are you ready for a break?
And then you would walk away for a few minutes?
Yeah, about a 30-minute break or so.
And then you come back on. I'm glad to hear that, because I had this picture in my mind that you guys and women were sitting there for 4 hours.
No. At the center, I worked at the En Route Center in Aurora.
Uh-huh.
And we would routinely, if you enjoyed working the heavier traffic, we'd pass breaks if you saw the traffic ginning up a little bit.
If you enjoyed traffic jams in the sky, you'd go, no, I'm good. I'm good. It's an amazing job. I thank you for doing it and obviously doing it very well. All right. So tell me how you kind of know an Olympian.
In 4 years, if they bring the NHLers back, and presuming Braden Shen of the St. Louis Blues plays for Canada, I skated with him back in August at a fantasy camp.
Come on!
He was my D partner for, probably a third of the time for four games.
But that's not the only thing you've had with brush with Olympics, have you?
No.
Let me tell you a few things Tom's done. You tell me if these are true or false. You skated on the ice at Lake Placid?
Correct.
This is the same sheet of ice that the Americans beat the Commies?
Yes, it is. Yep.
You skated on the speed skating oval there as well?
Yes. Yeah. At night, that was fun. I paid my $8, and was that ever worth it?
Is that still up there, by the way, Lake Placid?
I'm sorry?
Is that still a functional tourist situation there?
Oh, I think it is, yeah. They have hockey tournaments, I want to say routinely, in the Herb Brooks Arena.
Mm-hmm.
It's also connected to the where they had all the ice functions at the 1932 Olympics.
Yeah, I've always heard that Little Lake Placid has done one of the best jobs of reusing their Olympic facilities, where all the time we see, as we talked about the other day, Athens and Beijing and these other places where they're just letting the facilities just die.
Oh, no, Lake Placid, they've, in addition to the speed skating and the indoor ice, they still have the ski jump hills and the bobsled runs, and I'm certain they do plenty of training.
Listen to more Tom's Olympic resume here. He also skied at Whiteface Mountain, right outside Lake Placid, site of the alpine skiing parts of the 80 games. Skated at the Red Army Complex in Moscow. This is the part where makes me think he's a secret agent. He skied at most of the venues outside Salt Lake City. He skied at Whistler outside Vancouver, where obviously there's winter games there as well. And they had a self-guided walking tour. He and friends of Helsinki, where the 52 summer games were, and ended up in the Olympic cauldron itself. And, the Olympic cauldron, what happened there?
Well, we were up there early afternoon. We had landed, maybe 10 in the morning, bus to the hotel, went on a self-guided walking tour, aided by a couple of stops at some of the pubs in Helsinki.
There you go.
And being a Sunday afternoon, not a whole lot of public restrooms were available. And by the time we got to the up to the top where the torch is and looking down, if there hadn't been an open drain in the middle of that cauldron, I don't think we would have done what we did.
Wow.
There was nobody underneath, and there was no danger of, you know, being busted.
And this was not some sort of political statement on your behalf. This was just plumbing.
Oh. No, correct. Yeah.
Yes, I understand.
We love them.
I understand. Tom Wilson, how about that?
That's very
He's done
cool.
more with the Olympics than anybody. But again, doesn't he sound like a secret agent?
He does. Very discreet, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want him to tell me if he was. But that's a very impressive, I kind of know an Olympian resume. And for being on the show, you've won tens of dollars in prizes, which you'll be told about off the air.
Oh, how about that? Thank you.
It's almost a gold medal. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate you listening. I like Tom.
He's great.
Tom's okay.
Especially being that close to the cauldron. That would be super neat.
Well, what happened up there was trouble. But
That part, overall.
But he skated at Lake Placid.
So cool.
It's great. 970 says, Red Gerard went to my elementary school. It was a year behind me. We had the same first grade teacher.
That's pretty cool.
So that means this individual is 18, right?
Yeah, I'd love that kid.
Let me go there. Talk to this individual. I don't have a name. It's Jack. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm fine. So you're 18.
Yeah.
And you went to college or still in high school?
Still in high school. I'm actually pulling into the parking lot right now.
What are you going to do next year?
Go to Madison.
Well, good for you, man. What are you going to study?
Big Ten.
Economics.
Excellent. What are you going to do with that?
Probably go to law school.
Well, you got it all figured out, don't you, Jack?
I'd like to think so.
All right, so how do you know Red Gerard?
Well, he actually went to my elementary school when I used to live in Colorado.
And was he nuts then?
Yeah, he's always nuts. He actually, like, quit school, basically. And we didn't really hear much from him after that.
So did you know he was this elite athlete, or did you find out because you started paying attention to the Olympic story?
Probably when I was about 12, we started hearing things about this kid who would always go to the terrain park and just spend all day there. So
right.
He's always been like this.
Did you see his gold medal winning run?
Yes, that was crazy. And it just came out of nowhere, too.
Just after he fell twice. On his third and final run, he's Rocky the Flying Squirrel. You won't know that reference. He's Rocky the Flying Squirrel, just flies and flips. First of all, I don't know how he lands.
Well, he weighs like 120 pounds, too.
Yeah, he's a little kid.
One of the coolest things, though, he's flying through the air. He stops to tap, not slide, just tap on the pipe, goes back up in the air, and then lands.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't know how you tap on the pipe. Unless you're Tony Orlando.
Did he seem like he was obeying the laws of gravity when you knew him? Because he wasn't this weekend.
No, he doesn't really like to follow those kind of rules.
Of course.
Wow, it's unbelievable. And then you knew this, Jack, but he takes his helmet off. 17. He looks 12.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he actually looks like another one of my best friends, too, who lived there. It's kind of weird.
So do you make fun of your other best friend? Where's your gold medal?
Yeah, basically.
Red Gerard. What a great name, right? Red Gerard.
Red Gerard.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
His name's Redmond, isn't it, I believe?
It is.
Nah, it's not as cool if you tell me the whole story.
Yeah.
It's Red. Jack, I'm a much bigger fan of you and your career coming up in economics and law than this kid Red Gerard, but thank you for updating us.
Thank you.
All right, good luck, buddy. Go get inside. Stop messing around. That's Jack pulling into the school parking lot.
That's cool, though. I love that kid.
I know, and he's number 6 out of 7 kids. That's why I love him, because that's what I am.
How'd you like to be the other 6 kids?
I know.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, what a cool kid, though.
I can't help myself. I have to keep going here. This is Mel. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You and I share this piece of I Know an Olympian, kind of. What'd you do?
Well, it was years ago, just after the Miracle on Ice team mm-hmm. won the Olympics. Mike Erzioni, who was one of the stars of that
sure.
team,
Captain.
Was an inspirational speaker at a conference that our company was having down in Florida. And I brought with my golf clubs, and I was a real duffer at the time, still am actually. And we were sitting around, and all of a sudden, a couple of us said, "Hey, we need to go play some golf." And Mike said, "Hey, I want to go with you." And so we ended up sharing my golf clubs. Mike Urzioni golfed with my golf club.
Urzioni, what a cheapskate. Rent your own clubs.
He did just fine. I'm sure he shot, you know, in the 80s, and I'm still sitting there trying to break 100. But that proved to me there was nothing wrong with my golf clubs. I just had to learn how to play the game.
Right, right.
Operator error.
I have played golf a couple times with Urzioni. He's a good guy.
Yeah. So
that was my finding. I don't know about you. Did you enjoy your time with him?
Absolutely.
Yeah, good man.
A great young man at the time. So, but, you know, this is, how many years ago? Back in about, I think it was probably 82.
Okay.
So, 1982.
There used to be a celebrity golf tour, and I played a few events with guys on that tour when they came through town. I know Rizzioni was one of them. For being on the show, you've also won not a gold medal, but something from our priceless standby. Dave?
I have a Mike Urzioni story as well.
Yes, go ahead.
All right. So he came in the studio one night. I was doing a show on another station. He came in and sat.
Was that when you were on BBM, when you were drunk for a couple of years and you went over there?
I was. No. Not exactly, but yeah. Okay. So he came and spent about an hour in the studio with me. He was in town. This was not long after the Olympics. And then he says, "Okay, well, I got a little problem. I don't have a way back to my hotel." He had like no cash. So,
is this the guy who stole money from you?
No, this is Urzioni. This is Urzioni, the guy
hero.
Who uses somebody else's golf clubs and he's borrowing money from you?
He didn't borrow money. I gave him a ride back to his hotel.
It was pre-Uber.
It's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
He has never paid for a beer or a meal in Boston.
Since 1980.
Didn't they have cabs back then? What's going on?
We didn't have money.
Oh,
no,
gotcha.
Money. No money.
No cash? No card, no
text line 312-981-7200 if you'd like to chime in. We'll keep doing I Kind of Know an Olympian.